Everybody, sorry, you got to be a little bit more quieter because I'm in a remote location on the phone, but who do you?
And hey, everybody, welcome to the Stabcast. I'm Dan.
And I'm Mindy, and we are here to discuss a series that I've brought up a couple of times throughout our time on here, but unfortunately, Daniel was very hesitant to watch anything from it. But we do apologize because we were supposed to do the brand new Exorcist movie, and we were going to see it, but after a debate of myself for a while, and then seeing the reviews and everything and reading the script and whatnot, I didn't think it was worth our time, so we pulled the plug on it. And when it comes to streaming and we're able to see it for free, then we're going to watch it.
Yeah.
So absolutely, that's what happened with that one. So we decided this last night to have a horror movie marathon anyway, and one of the first movies I chose was called The Body, which is part of an anthology series that Blumhouse did a few years ago for Hulu called Into the Dark. And what this anthology series was for every month they had a movie come out surrounding that month, whether it be a holiday or an entity that is with the month, like something. And the first movie they came up with was already based on a short story, and it's called The Body. Very interesting premise. You had a hitman who took care of somebody, and he has to get rid of him on Halloween night. So what's the best thing to do? It's a guy. Drag him through the streets like a Halloween costume.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, it's stupid now that I'm hearing myself say it. It really is stupid, but I mean, you guys got to remember, he was in the middle of the city. I think they were in New York. So, like, his car got completely fucking crashed.
True.
When he was murdering this dude. So, like, he had no other way to go but just drag it. So, Daniel, do you want to say anything about it before we get into it?
Just on early, without it and doing, like, any spoilers, I would recommend this movie to most people. I think there's a lot, I think it's a genre-bending type deal, and I can see why they kind of came out of the, they came out first with this. In this anthology, because I think this does a lot of things, and it's an interesting movie. Like, it's a hitman movie. It's a horror movie. It's a POV of kind of the bad guy, but also kind of not. You don't know who the bad guy is.
The director said he wanted it. The director said he wanted it to be a mix between Pulp Fiction and Scream.
It works. I think there's a lot about it that works. I don't know if I agree with those two things, but I
think the Scream part was more about meta horror.
Yeah.
Honestly,
yeah.
I think that's why what he meant by that, and the Pulp Fiction thing was probably meant because he was using a hitman.
Yeah. I felt Jason.
I mean, it is the guy's first movie, so.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, he was the executive producer of all of that. Did he write it? No, he didn't direct it either. But he did have his hands in it.
Exactly. Yeah, so let's get into it then.
All right, so, yeah, like I said, we basically, well, we start off really, really, really weird. It's very, very weird. You don't even know it's Halloween yet. And you start off with like this beautiful opera-like music. And you're toured around this beautiful like penthouse apartment and whatnot. And then all of a sudden you just see this motherfucker sprawled out on the floor. And it's like, what is going on? And then the music becomes interrupted with a phone call, and this guy named Wilkes answers the phone, and it turns out that he is none other than a hitman.
Yeah.
And he is the kind of hitman that takes out very famous people. And that's what I like about this movie, too. I love that the director decided to do this. They decided to make the body important, but not give it away as to who it actually was. Like, they made sure that you knew it was an important person, but they never once told you his name. That was a secret.
Yeah, that's what I kind of liked about him, just that his last name was Wilkes, right?
Well, no, I'm not talking about the hitman, Daniel. I'm talking about his hit.
Oh, yeah, the
famous
guy
that
never,
he took out.
I do wish they would have had, like, a B-lister that they could have, like, shown at the end and be like, I'll be damned. Like, I kind of wish that they would have did something with that.
I mean, and I think if they were leaning more towards comedy, I think they would have. But for me, what they seemed to do was open it up very comedically and then have a mix between horror and comedy, and then by the end, straight horror.
Yeah.
So if they were going with more of a comedic ending, then yes, I would say that they should have done that. So there's some very likable characters in this, because, and it's really funny for Daniel and I to say this, guys, because everyone knows us. We don't really, I mean, yeah, we enjoy comedy and our horror and whatnot if it calls for it and shit, but like we're not usually somebody to get on the bandwagon for a movie that's this stupid.
Yeah, and the two people that make it stupid are Alan Morgan Adams, who's played by David Hall, and
of the famous Morgan Adams.
And Jack Baker, played by Ray Santiago, who they meet up with later, who's this rich guy.
And Ray Santiago is also, I don't know if people know this, I don't think Daniel knew it because I don't believe you watched the series, but he was actually the comedic relief in the show Ash versus the Evil Dead.
Okay.
He was the friend that was the comedic relief. So that's just...
Yeah, I just remembered him in little, like, comedies, like, Accepted and stuff showing up. But
yeah, I don't remember him ever being in anything horror, etc. And then someone brought that up, but it's like, oh, shit, he was. I completely forgot.
But, yeah. Before they meet up with Jack, Alan Morgan Adams is with his friend Dorothy, who they call Dot, who... They're, like, really close friends, it seems like, and there might be a little
but
bit of a...
But she hates that name.
Yeah, they
as
hate,
soon as they say the
that.
Name Dot, she's like, stop calling me that. Like, so, like, I have a feeling that her and Alan may have done something when they were little, like when they were teenagers. But I don't think it went anywhere, and he was friend-zoned very quickly. Because she seemed to be, like, the hot, smart one, but all the guys knew that they weren't going to get in their pants.
And they're with their buddy Nick, their chubby buddy Nick, who was in Truth or Dare and also in Blue Beetle.
And you know who else was in Truth or Dare for Blumhouse?
No.
Dot.
She was, yeah.
Yep. I didn't realize that at first, and then I saw our boy in it, and I'm like, the fuck? Because I thought I saw her in it, too, and I rewinded it, and I'm like, oh, fuck, it is her. Like, she got a lot better at acting. He kind of just stayed the same.
Yeah.
But as we all know, the fat comic relief normally normally is one of the first to go. So we say bye-bye to him very quickly.
Yeah, he gets fucked up soon. But they get the hitman to the party because Alan Morgan Adams will not shut the fuck up and wants him to have one drink and really wants him to come through. And he's one of those guys.
He wants
just
to outdo Jack.
Yeah.
Is what
so,
it is. Jack is his childhood buddy. He wants to outdo him. And he thinks if we show up at this, like, millions of dollar party that Jack's throwing with this guy that's in this amazing costume, Jack's going to get jealous of me.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to be the one that's jealous anymore. He's going to be the one that's jealous.
Exactly.
But Alan's a dumbass.
He's a dummy wummy.
I mean, the guy, I'm sorry, guys, like, I don't want to really give anything away too much right from the beginning, but the guy literally was talking in riddles and insulting him.
Yeah, I think.
And the guy still wouldn't give up about getting him to go to this party. And it's like, dude, just let it go. Like, he obviously is not a good guy.
Yeah, and the feet look too real. And the body.
That's what did it for me. That's what did it for me, guys. Like, they wrapped it up in saran wrap and everything, but that was some real feet.
I agree.
And that threw it off for me a little bit whenever they would point towards they would show the feet and whatnot. Because it's like, that is definitely not prosthetic feet.
No. That looked like a real body the whole time.
Yeah. I mean, wonderful concept, but it should have been wrapped up better.
But the thing I like about Alan and the thing I like about Jack is they seem like the biggest insufferable douchebags in the beginning, and they become very likable with how goofball-y they are.
They really do, though. They seem like total douchebag asshats that you want to die, but then towards the end of the movie, you're actually rooting for them.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're kind of like, I hope they don't die, actually. Like, as stupid as they are, I kind of am rooting for them at this point.
Right.
Because they just have a really stupid way of carrying this body through a fucking alley, trying to figure out what to do with it. And Dot's like, well, why not steal this homeless guy's cart? Like, they just decide to steal from homeless, and it's like, I don't think they would have done that had that not been for her common sense. I really do think that Dot was the common sense behind this movie, with the three of them. If she would have died before those two, they would have been fucked, more fucked than they were.
Yeah. I agree.
They would not have made it as far as they did. She didn't have amazing job. And I'm not saying anything against the other girl that we had, Maggie, because, I mean, she was good too, but they were good in opposite ways. Dot was trying to be good and save the day, while Maggie was trying to take over the world.
Yeah.
So, two very different contrasts, I will have to say. Two very different characters.
Really was, like, completely different, almost.
Exactly, like, opposite worlds. Like, one of them was a coder with a dark side, and the other one was a sarcastic smartass.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only way to really describe Dot.
Yeah, and Dot, she was the one thing, and she was the best part of the three, and even though Jack grew on me, and so did Alan, you needed someone that kind of seemed like they knew what they were doing, and kind of seemed like the boss ass. But like, you needed not an idiot in that group to make it seem like. All right,
that's
well,
what I mean. She was the common sense.
Yeah, exactly.
When they're like, "Oh well, where do we find a big oven?" and she's like, "Dun dun, like fucking funeral homes or like hospitals. They have mortuaries, you idiots."
Yeah, she was the old
and they're both like, what's a mortuary? And she's like, it has an incinerator. And it's like, oh my God, these two are so dumb. They're going to get her killed. But,
and they almost did.
Yeah, they really almost did, but I felt bad for her ending, which we'll discuss in a minute or two. But basically, Wilkes finds out early on after he gets dubbed by the three. Well, basically, the only reason that he gets duped by the three is because he's convinced by Maggie and Jack, and he just wants Alan to shut the fuck up, to go into Jack's private room and have some drugs and drinks. And now he's not really on board with this, but Jack convinces him that the keys are in the room, and he's looking for a ride. So, goes in the room. Well, everyone's talking about how, like, real-looking the dummy thing is, and all of a sudden this thing starts freaking the fuck out, and Alan's like, oh my God, is it animatronic? And the guy's like, I don't know, you tell me. And it's like, right there, you should have asked questions.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? So then Jack and Alan just start to be fucking douchebags, and I believe it's Jack is the one that fucking delivers the final blow to the poor wrapped up bastard. And the fucking head explodes, and they realize, like, oh my God, this is a real person.
Yeah.
And then that's when Fat Boy goes down.
That's a big boy. Takes a spill.
And then the three of them, Jack, Dot, and Alan, are actually able to escape because Jack has rigged the room to be an escape room so he could get laid.
Yeah.
But it worked in his favor because they were able to get the body out.
Right.
But unfortunately for them, Jack's not smart. He just hires people to be smart for him. And Maggie was number one. Like, she knows everything about this kid. His passwords, where he does shit, like, where he'll go. She knows everything.
And Maggie happens to, because Dot's just a, and we were kind of talking about the two a few minutes ago. Dot's somebody that's just trying to make it through the night. Maggie's trying to have an adventure through the night because she gets turned on by this man. this life excites the shit out of her. And
Which does happen with some people, honestly.
Yeah, yeah.
It does happen with some people. Like, they meet somebody that's completely the opposite of them, but shows them to live life on the wild side, and they're like, oh, this is awesome. I think I'm going to do this. Like, it does happen. It happens a lot more than you think, actually.
Exactly. It actually goes the fuck down, so. I enjoyed her and his dynamic, and I think that's kind of what made the movie. Half the three of them, because like you said, after Nick gets that knife to the forehead, the next half of the movie is the three dumbasses, Dorothy, Alan, and...
basically cat and mouse, playing hide and seek.
Because especially after they're in the parking lot, and they have that policeman who...
Oh, the parking garage at the cop?
Yeah, who Dot appropriately calls Chief Wiggum. He fucking, this chubby cop, he takes his eye off.
And the chubby cop's offense, and the chubby guy's offense, when he saw Jack running up to him through the streets out of a parking garage dressed up as a fucking convict, he was sure that he was on some kind of drugs. And in the cop's defense, he was. I mean, and like Dot said, like, halfway through, she's like, we're not going to get anywhere with you wearing this stupid costume. Like, it took her a little bit, but then she was finally the one, like, we're standing out like sore thumbs here because we look like we're with a convict.
Yeah,
so,
that's true.
I find pretty funny that the convict's costume stood out more than the guy with the dead body. But I guess Jack was a little more vocal.
Yeah, he was. And the cop getting his throat slit was a chef's kiss. That was a good scene. And it kind of showed that the hitman does not fuck around. I liked how we kind of saw how more and more sinister he was as the movie went on.
Yeah, because at first we thought maybe he was just somebody that was in it for the money. But then as it went on, it was like, oh, this motherfucker's having fun.
Exactly.
Like, he thinks this is a good time. Like, oh, my God.
Right.
And, like, not to mention his boss makes it, like, makes it 100% clear to him that he's watching it. And that he's seeing everything that's going down. And he still doesn't give a shit.
No, not at all.
At that point, he's like, oh, well, now I just got to fuck with them a little bit harder so I can, like, get it done in time.
Right.
But, and Maggie fell right into his trap. I mean, he got lucky with her. He really did. It's not every day you run across a tech-savvy nerd with a dark, tech-savvy nerd with a dark side.
Yeah. That chick was crazy.
I mean, because he doesn't know anything but killing. That's what he knows. So she's like, oh, well, I could track this person through a computer. And he was, like, baffled by that. And she's like, I can do fine by phone. And he was even baffled by that, too, because, like, I think in his mind, he didn't really fuck with technology like that.
Yeah.
And she did. So, I mean, if she wouldn't have been there, he would have lost.
Yeah, he fucked with the, I mean, and I agree, but I think he was more of like a dark web guy because he was even talking about it.
He even said he was a dark web guy.
Yeah.
Because she asked him how he gets into it. And he asked her, don't you know about the dark web? And she said, yeah, it would be where somebody looks for someone to kill someone. He's like, or when someone looks for work.
Yeah, right.
And it's like, oh, okay. That's why he has no box.
That's why he won't give no shit.
Because normally at that point in somebody's life, like if they're doing that, on a professional basis and shit, like, they're not fucking around. They don't
exactly.
care.
Yeah.
They have no, they don't care. They don't have any regards for human life whatsoever, even themselves. So, but to get it moving a little bit along here, they do steal the three, we'll call them Larry and Charlie and Moe. They do steal a shopping cart from a homeless person who basically lets them have it once he sees that they have a famous person. And they decide to go to a hardware store at first. And dumbass Alan is fucking looking up how to disassemble a body on Google, which is just a bad idea in itself. Like, whether they were being followed, tracked, whatnot, like, that's just a bad search to ever have on your phone, whether you're being followed or not. Like,
right.
Don't. Because, like, even when your phone is destroyed and whatnot, and they examine it and shit, like, the FBI can still recover that shit. You're still fucked.
Exactly. You can still be out of here.
Yeah. So, they caught on to him researching that, and they were like, well, they're in a hardware store. And it goes to the three of them, and poor Dot, she's doing almost all the heavy lifting. She's doing almost all the work when it comes to mutilating the body.
Oh, yeah, all of it.
And then they were like, oh, well, we need to burn the fingertips off. And she's like, nope, I'm out. I'm done. It is time for one of you to do it.
This is where Dot checks out.
And, like, and the two boys, they just couldn't do it. So that's when they start leading to the incinerator conversation. And she points out, like, all we got to do is find a funeral home. And we're good to go.
Yeah, so much time if they could have just chopped that body up.
Yeah, if they would have just had one more person that had the same sentence that Dot did.
Yeah. They would have been okay.
And chopped it up, it would have been done and over with. But they kept fucking around with Tweedledee and Tweedledumass.
Exactly.
And,
I think I think that there's certain scenes in this movie, like the scene in the bar with Maggie and Wilkes, and certain scenes that are really trying to be intense and cool and get this relationship across and get, like, she wants a sense of adventure. He brings that. He's this suave, cool character. There was times where he kind of took me out of it. I didn't always love Tom Bateman's performance. I thought it was all right, but I thought, you know, Rebecca Rittenhouse was kind of carried that relationship. So,
and you're not the first person to say that. A lot of people said that Bateman's portrayal of the character was quite boring.
Exactly. And he came across as a little bit too, like, corny at times. But I did see what they were going for, and it never really sucked me out of the movie. And I did believe in the chemistry of those two. Even when we get to
I know you did. You believed it so hard.
I did.
I felt so bad for you.
You know, when they're on the way to the hospital to find them, and he fucking hugs her close, and he's like, no one understands me but you. And, like, shit like that. He's like, I don't understand you, but I feel like you're the only person that understands me. He grabs her close. He kisses her. She's like, let's run away together. I'll teach you shit. You teach me shit. And then, boom, out of fucking nowhere, knife in the gut to a huge twist. No, I did not see that shit coming.
Yeah, he took her out because she was too much.
It was
so good. She was going to end up being collateral damage.
Yes.
So he took her out.
And for a woman that's been through so much shit, she got shot for him. She's helped him fuck over all her friends. You know, she did all this for him.
She lost her job.
Yeah. Well, yeah. She framed her boss for murder, so yeah, I'm sure she lost her job. But I really, that part was one of the best parts, and that was the turning point to where it's like, all right, I liked the beginning and I liked the first half and the first and second act, and they were good. But once this happened, it's like, all right, we're in the third act. It's time for shit to get crazy. That's when the movie really fucking picked up. And I did not think it was mediocre or anything before that. I thought it was like a good paced, like, fun movie with stuff happening. But once that third act hits, it's like, oh, this is actually more horror than I thought it was. That's when the horror really hits and the gruesome kills and the, like, you know, running away from the hitman.
Well, that's what I told
you
and Sharon. Like, just wait for it. It's going to get a lot more intense.
Because the first two halves don't feel horror-y at all. It feels like an action crime thriller. You know what I mean? The first two acts
with a little bit of comedy.
Yeah, it feels like an action movie. So it gets really horror-esque at the end. And that's with him chasing Jack. And poor Jack almost got out of it with hiding in that coffin. But he just could not get away.
He was a dumbass, man. He should have covered his fucking mouth. He breathed. That's what happened. He breathed. He took a breath too loud. You don't do that. You don't take a breath too loud, and you don't climb out of your hiding spot 5 seconds after the person supposedly leaves the room.
To me, that's the big mistake. I think if you would have held the breath or just breathed real quick and then stayed in the coffin, but the fact that he had to open the loud-ass coffin door. Like, the dude obviously could have
just
opened the door.
That's what really, really set him up.
He fucked himself over hard body.
Yeah. And then Alan, he was just annoying, so his death was kind of a breath of fresh air.
It was.
And then poor Dot, man. Oh, my God. Poor Dot, guys. We thought we were getting a final girl out of her. We were so determined. She had gone.
We were so wrong.
And she was so ready. She was so ready to shoot this motherfucker in the head. But, like we said, they're in a morgue, which means metal tools, whatnot.
Yeah, like a little
most
metal plate.
Those metal trays.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And when she goes to shoot him, he actually throws up a metal plate in front of his face, and it fucking ricochets from the fucking metal and hits her in the fucking face. And it's like, oh, my goodness. It's something that you did not see coming at all.
It was abrupt. It was fast. It was right after a gruesome Alan kill was dead. And you think, okay, maybe she is the final girl. Maybe she makes it. Probably not, but who knows?
Yeah, because she says, hey,
motherfucker. So
and
Yeah. It's a fast, good one. And that's when kind of the intense things that you don't think are going to happen, like the Maggie stab and this, is the fun shit that really spices up this third act of the movie. And this
yeah,
in particular,
like, oh, okay.
it's like 10 seconds. And then he checks the place, like, oh. But it works. And it's like you feel bad that Dot's gone, but it's also like, damn, dude, that was so intense. Because this is after he just pumped Alan with fucking formaldehyde and fucking stabbed him in the head, and fucking blood is pouring over all of his face, and he's shaking and shit, and it's a very intense kill. And then she's like, all right, motherfucker, you want to go to war? And then she shoots him once, and fucking she's quiet, and you're like, oh, shit. And then he fucking puts the plate down, or he lowers it from his eyes.
Well, actually, he turned it around, and he's okay. Like, he was even amused at the fact that she took herself out like that.
Yeah.
Because he said that was easy.
But she did what she could. I thought that was a good one. The Alan kill, obviously, is my top kill of the movie, because that's when we really got intense horror. Like, he even told, I hope that drink was worth it, like, and shit like that. Like, that to me, because Alan and his relationship was kind of the first one we see build up in the movie in the beginning, and just this douchey guy trying to get him to come along. And the fact, and even though I liked Alan too, but the way he went out and the way the hitman took him out, it was rather poetic for the movie, and I thought it really worked.
Oh, absolutely. But, I mean, I would have to give the best kill to the very, very, very ending act, which is actually our actual final girl who...
Yep, she's still alive.
I don't know what happens if she comes back from the dead. There's a lot of talk that there's actually another short film in prelude to this, which is her actually having supernatural powers. So I'm not sure what they were going for, but somehow she did survive, and she came back and took him out.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And you got the opposite version of her carrying a body, which was his body.
And I think that's what works, because, like we said, his performance was all right, but I felt like she really made the movie. So I left satisfied with, like, all right, he got his comeuppings and it came from her. And the movie did a good job at when she getting stabbed at panning. So if she did come to the dead, that makes sense. But if she didn't, they made it really seem like she fucking took her final breath, that tear dropped, and her face panned to the side, and she was fucking dead. It didn't seem like she was still with him. So the fact that she came back, like, because it was just a knife shot, but still. It looked like it had a good artery, and it looked like she was done. So
and
her coming back and motherfucking him really worked.
Yeah. And that was, for me, it was just like justice. It's like, finally, this motherfucker's getting something.
And her being the strongest performance in the movie really makes it work when she shows up at the end, does some badass shit, and was like, yeah, motherfucker. And walks off into the sunset.
Yeah. Yeah,
I like that.
A beautiful young lady, I will have to say, too. She was a very beautiful young lady.
She was, and she killed in that Marie Antoinette outfit. Even though Jack says it's Frozen from Elsa.
Jack's like, wait, the Elsa chick from Frozen? And Dot's like, no, you idiot. Marie Antoinette, open a book. And, like, right there, you're like, oh, she's going to be the smart one.
Yeah.
Because, like, even when they started getting threatening messages from him and Maggie and on Dumbass's phone while he's Googling and shit, that's like, they know exactly where we are.
Yeah.
And, like, Jax is the one that figures it out, because he's like, oh, God, wait a minute. He's just Maggie.
Yeah.
We're screwed. That's why he has everything, because he has her.
Right.
And they're all like, oh, no. And Jack's like, oh, fuck. Because Jack's like, this bitch knows everything. This is not good.
Yeah.
So, because she really did. I mean, he really, really lucked out with her.
Yeah, she knew what the fuck she was talking about. But,
so it all came together very nicely.
I agree. I thought it turned out to be a really excellent movie that was very well done. I'll give it an 8.2. I thought this was a really fun thing. It's a genre bending. You don't just have to be a horror fan to be into it. It's like an action crime thriller, too. There's so many. It's comedy. There's a lot of different things in this. And I think it's very original and it's very fun. And I can see why this was the first Into the Dark. I like this a lot.
Yeah, and also, I mean, I'm sure you can see now why I was so hyped up on this series when this one came out. And the first couple of them came out, because the first couple of them are actually very, very good. You have this one, then you have Flesh and Blood for Thanksgiving. And then you have, for December, you have Pooka. And then January, you get New Year, New You. Then you get All the Ones That We Destroy. Then the Treehouse for Valentine's Day. It just gets more and more fucked up.
Yeah.
And then it's like the Pilgrim is just, yeah. If you guys don't like cannibalism, don't even try.
Yeah, fuck all that.
It scarred Daniel enough to where he's okay with going to watch the new Eli Roth Thanksgiving movie and is excited about it.
Yeah.
I broke him.
You broke me. All right, Mindy, what do you want to do next week?
So, next week, I'm not quite sure what we want to do because we are planning on going to the spooky thing, and we are planning on doing a live video there if we're allowed to. So that'll be on the TikTok, of course. As far as the review for Sunday goes, I'm not sure what we're going to do. I don't even know if Daniel's quite sure what we're going to do.
No, I don't know.
I'd say let's sit on it for a couple of days and I'll announce it on TikTok.
Sounds good for me.
All right. Oh, and also, guys, I would like to tell all of you as a PSA that when you see that there's a new Winnie the Pooh movie, read the whole fucking title, please, and realize that the end of it is called Blood and Honey. Come on. I mean, there is a third grade teacher over the past couple of weeks that showed their children, the kids in the class, sat for their Halloween movie because she thought that it was just a Winnie the Pooh film. I mean, yeah, she was stupid enough to keep it on the entire time. But still, just do your research, especially around this time of year. Do your research. Figure out what your kids are watching.
Exactly.
I mean, put time and effort into it. Give it a watch if you have to beforehand. I mean, that's what I did with Daniel when he was little. I used to watch him first, and then I'd be like, all right, I think he can handle this.
Watch a couple minutes, yeah. Hey, especially now you can look up pretty much the whole plot on Wikipedia and shit, YouTube videos. It's easy to do research.
Exactly.
Now.
I mean, these days it's so easy to do research. I mean, you can figure out an entire movie without even watching anything.
Exactly, so.
So,
but
this
good.
Is a good episode.
It was.
We will be coming up with the new Natty Knox movie. I did just get Daniel to watch it, but we're going to wait on that review because we might have a surprise.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. And we will wait to announce it.
Yes, absolutely. So, hoodie hoo, y'all, and have a scary week. Make sure you guys are watching at least one horror movie a day. Make sure you guys are paying attention to TikTok. Because the TikToks I normally post on it at least once a day, and it's normally either a recommendation or a mini review.
Exactly.
So. All right. Well, I think we're good.
I think we're good. We'll see everybody next week, and hooty hoo.
All right. Hooty hoo, y'all.